Wait, this happened one time. I was with my mom and we got in a car crash. It's a minor one. But the police came and they were being annoying. And then just this lady appeared out of nowhere and she was like, "What's going on? Like, do you guys need help?" And then
it was me.
And she was so awesome. She brought us ice cold Fanta and was just kind of like helping out because the cops were being useless. But then the cops knew her and they were like, "Sharon, get out of here."
Wait, Karen bad, Sharon good.
Yes. Wow, the opposite of a Karen is a Sharon.
Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings. Hey, what's up, Nico?
What's up, Connor? I like that shirt you're wearing right now. You've got the Phoebe Bridgers, what's his face? What's that little guy from Always Sunny? Danny DeVito.
Oh, I didn't know who that was until right now.
You didn't know that was Danny DeVito on your shirt?
I thought it was kind of an inside joke that I was a part of and you were a part of and everyone's me and Phoebe were a part of and Danny.
And now Danny.
I bought this in Fort Greene Park on a Saturday morning for $5 off of a rack that was run by a woman who works at A24. I know because I Googled her after Venmoing her.
Nice.
The best part about getting someone's Venmo information is then you get their name and you can look them up.
You can look so much up. There's so much information about us out there.
It's
actually unsettling.
She was like a senior supervisor or something there, and I was like, I kind of want to buy your whole rack and
Sort
of take over your life.
Take over your life. I feel like maybe I use this as a boys club in the past, that Danny DeVito, people who are obsessed with Danny DeVito is kind of a boys club.
Who are these people? My cousin Vinny? Oh, you know the movie.
I know the movie.
Not a specific person.
No, I just mean there's all these people that like he's so memeified. People love Danny DeVito. And I feel like that's kind of a boys club.
Well, he was in that movie Matilda that I only like kind of. I only like normal.
I saw Matilda the musical. I didn't see the.
The movie is pretty gross. Movie. It's like haunting.
With the cake.
Yeah. Yes, I told you about this.
I've seen the musical. What was I going to say? I don't remember anything else about Danny DeVito, but...
One more thing. He was with Rhea Perlman, who maybe is his wife. He was in that movie with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, where they're... I think it's called To Grandmother's House We Go. Also the name of that game.
Oh, your favorite board? Wow.
Yes. And it's like a Christmas movie where they, I believe, are kidnapped. Are they kidnapped in that movie?
I don't remember. Okay. Did you see...
We need a millennial to do the tech. And then we're always like, hey...
Have you seen New York Minute?
Yes.
I was obsessed with that movie.
He's in that?
No, but Mary-Kate and Ashley
are. Of course, of course, of course.
And one of my favorite parts of that movie, I remember thinking this was so funny when I was a kid, is when she's giving a speech somewhere and she's literally saying the lines to Complicated, the Avril Lavigne song.
That is funny.
So funny. I loved it.
Yes, that I think was their first, like when they were kids, I believe they perhaps had theatrical releases, but then for a while shifted to VHS releases. But I believe that was a return. I could be wrong, boys, but we've never been a podcast about facts. That could be a return to their theatrical release and then they were done.
I don't think I've ever gone through the entire Mary-Kate and Ashley discography. They got to be loaded though, don't you think?
Best one. Oh my, yeah. I mean, from everything, the whole brand. Like, I'm sure Full House pays for everything because royalties. And they also have, like, a fashion line called The Row.
I hope they really like doing that. I just don't see I don't think I want to have a fashion line, but going from making movies, I mean, everything's hard to do, but I'm like, that feels more way more fun than having a quiet luxury brand.
Yeah, I know, but I think they like fashion.
Yeah.
And movies, like, I don't know if they ever liked movies. They started that when they were actually infants.
That's literally true. Yeah, they were
Truly
4 years old when they were on Full House, right?
I know. No, zero.
Babies.
No one even knew if they were going to be cute or not. You just had to trust.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They were literally infants.
What did their parents just kept them going?
I don't know. I don't know.
We talked about this a little bit last time we recorded, but... I'm so wary of
children's
television
vibes.
Now. After the whole Nickelodeon thing, I'm
and
like
Boss
really...
Baby Brody. I think his mom needs to chill out.
Yes.
Yes. She does need to
chill
out.
She does. I am so wary of parents who put their...
Ma'am, get a job.
I am like... Trigger warning. Okay? This is about some intense
stuff. We should get a button that's like, trigger warning.
So listen at your own whatever.
Usually when you say trigger warning, you tell them what it's going to be.
Well, if you... if you at home understand based on what we were, I was just saying about the Nickelodeon kids stuff and Baby Brody, it's along that way, okay? Child assault stuff. Okay. Maddie was telling me about there's this mom who has like her kid on TikTok and sometimes has the kid holding some really like phallic shaped stuff. And apparently there's a lot of like sex offenders who like follow this account.
That's crazy.
And like will send in like almost like send money to like be like hold this or hold that. Isn't that fucked up?
How did Maddie find out about this?
The internet. I don't know. But there's like parents who I'm so wary of parents who are making money off their kids on TikTok. I think it's so gross.
My dad didn't even make money. So they weren't making money off me. My family, one person made money.
Yeah. Sorry if I just brought up something so dark, but ugh.
No, that's really crazy.
Isn't that gross?
Yeah.
Yeah. So beware. The internet's a gross place.
An American Auto line is on TikTok. Everything is either... I forget what it was, but it's either like the sweetest thing you've ever seen or someone saying the second tower didn't fall.
Yeah, literally.
There is no middle ground.
I'm wary of everything on the internet. Did you see any boys clubs this week?
Do I talk about gyms too much?
No, I think you should sing your heart song.
I went to SoulCycle and I just think that if you're in a workout class, I, as someone with intense social anxiety, mm-hmm. I don't like when the instructor says, say hi to your neighbor. I think that's annoying. With that being said, I am not so debilitated, if that's a word.
Okay.
That I will say hi to my neighbor. I'll say, hi. If you are someone who cannot even say hi to your neighbor, then you don't need a spin class. You need a new psychiatrist. Or, God forbid, a hug. Or like someone who sent you a bouquet because something horrible just happened to you.
Okay. I'm loving where this went. Because at first I thought you were going to say, I don't want to say hi to my neighbor. I don't want to say hi to anybody. And I was going to be like, well, I think community workout classes, I think people need to say hi to each other more.
I think that if you are someone who is like, then you are, and I mean, I kind of did a thing where I was like, kind of like stuck in myself and my whatever. And it's like, no offense. I've seen all the people. If you're at the SoulCycle Brooklyn Heights, no offense. You're not that great. I looked at all you. I saw all you. I don't know where you're coming or going from, but it's like, we're all here in Brooklyn Heights. You're not that great.
Wow.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And I was here to make eye contact with you. And you weren't even good at the class, but I wasn't bothered by that. You know what? I'm going to say red woman. And for sure was. 100%
was. Red woman.
Totally was. It feels weird to put anyone in a box in that way. It was a woman. They're all women.
Okay.
A man would have said, hey.
Wow.
I think so.
No.
I think that, yeah. And I was mad. I was like, do you? And I what I
this
wanted to do.
This is a very binary take on the pod.
What I really wanted to do is I wanted to growl at her.
This redheaded woman.
Oh, no. She had red hair.
I thought you just said red woman and meant redheaded woman.
Oh, I don't remember.
Was she wearing red? Maybe I just read into this.
I don't know.
Okay.
Inbred
woman.
I didn't say that, but I should.
Ridiculous.
It's like, listen, girl, I don't know where you work supply chain for. I don't know what you're doing 9 to 5. I don't know. And I don't know if someone just died in your family. And if that's the incident, then you should spit on me. And I'm sorry if that actually is true.
Yeah.
But I just think like, and this does happen a lot. You'll be in these classes where just like the richest girl you've ever seen dude like can't say hi to someone.
Yeah.
And it's like, they did just say to say hi to your neighbor. And now I look like a dick because I'm trying to say hi to you. I'm like, and now I look like a loser.
And you know where this probably isn't happening?
Men.
No. The Midwest, the South, other places. I think people are saying hi to each other.
I think they can say it's. I can't emphasize enough. These people are not that great. I just don't know how to emphasize it. I don't know who you think you are. I don't know who your mom is.
Yeah.
But you are doing a bad job in a SoulCycle class in Brooklyn. You are not that special.
New York can have the power to do two things. It can either have the power to make you realize you are one of a million, billion people, and it really humbles you in that way.
Yeah.
Or it can make you feel like you are the main character big time. And I think a lot of people lean into that. Okay, Connor's thinking.
I think
Connor knows where he lands.
I'm main character, but it's a gorgeous story. It's a story of generosity.
I'm tuned in. Listen, I'm tuned in. But my point being,
Princess Diana was the main character. She would have said hi. She would have grabbed my hand.
Of course. Right. But I think a lot of people are like living in their own little world, and also we're more disconnected than we've ever been. Thank you to the internet. And I think that people don't know how to say hi to each other anymore.
I think that we need to make a promise to each other that next time this happens, I do, like, there is something about we're always too scared at the moment to go like, like, you got to go do that. Sure. Like, do something shocking that like demands her attention, where she has to pay attention to you. But what you've done isn't illegal. It's not illegal, and you can't get in trouble for growling at someone.
You can't. Have you ever seen like, I remember like growing up, there would just be like these things that would go around that like, if you are like raised a woman and you're like afraid of like you're gonna get taken or something, instead of fighting back, literally be crazy.
That's
like scream like a goat. Like, just,
that's
like
the whole plot of Hey Arnold. Someone says, I'm gonna fight you.
Oh, and then they say like, get crazy.
And then he brings a boombox and he's like, you wouldn't fight a crazy person. And then he's dancing all crazy.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it works. It works.
I know. I hate her. What's your boys club?
My boys club for this week is... I'm torn. Because...
Do two.
Okay. I'll do two. Well, my first one is landlords, obviously. So there's a lot of serious reasons why landlords are boys clubs. Of course, they're, you know, keeping us down. They are, you know, have created this horrible industry for themselves. And we should be, rent should be stabilized and rent should be cheap and everybody should be able to live.
They locked me out of my mailbox. Aside from that. You know, I'm rent stabilized.
I know.
I might die in this apartment.
God willing. But aside from that, I just had a funny encounter with my landlord. Well, actually, so my landlord is this old Polish lady, and she called me to see if it smelled like gas in the hallway because somebody two floors down complained of that, and somehow I was now on the case. And then I went outside into my hallway. It didn't smell like gas to me. And then I was leaving, and her sister, who's a little bit more of the, like, good cop, bad cop, she's a little bit more bad cop, she was, like, talking to the girl who's the apartment right under me, and that woman had smelled gas. And then so then she put me in the middle of it and was like, do you smell gas? And then I'm trying to side with my neighbor, but I don't want to side with the landlord, but I don't smell gas. And I was like, I don't know, I kind of have a cold, making up lies.
What if you said, I'm not qualified to do this, I coach soccer,
I know, I gotta go.
And then I was leaving
and the landlord sister, the lady, she was like, well, maybe it's because of those stinky shoes upstairs, referring to me and my roommate and my across the hall neighbor's shoes that are outside the apartment. And I was like, lady, get a life.
I don't think the Disney gays' shoes are bringing the entire apartment
I
down.
I agree.
We're talking about the guy across the hall, by the
way. I'm like, there's a dog in the building, too. Like, there's multiple dogs in the building.
Oh, and, I know.
And we've never been like, oh, it stinks like dog in here, because it doesn't. Like, yeah, it's an old building that smells scary. Weird sometimes. I don't know. Anyway, so that's one of them.
No, the buildings in New York don't work. My mailbox never worked. I moved in. It was on a working mailbox. I never had a key that made any sense. And now I'm nervous that I have a tax documents that I can't access. No one knows how to fix it. But this building is so old and the rent is stabilized and you don't want to make waves. So you're just like kind of trudge along with no mailbox. Do you have my credit card, by the way?
Oh, I should look. You got to text me and remind me. He sent
works.
A credit card to my apartment because his mailbox doesn't work. But I know, I was like, there was one time where they had like a friend of the family who is, I think, going through a situation. This older Polish man ended up sort of semi-living in the hallway downstairs for a night. And I was like, I think we've earned you coming over to check on the gas, okay, as a building. I think we've earned some good graces. Don't be talking about my shoes upstairs.
No, that's not okay.
Ridiculous.
And gas, literally, I cannot emphasize enough how it really can kill you. I always think I smell gas. Never in this apartment. My last apartment, I thought I smelled gas all the time.
It's like landlords want to have all this power over everybody. They want to make free fucking money off of a building that they haven't paid anything for, I'm sure, since they've... And I think this building has probably been in our landlord's family forever, because, which is like, whatever, that's the property they own. It's theirs to do what they want, I suppose. But like, you're making a lot of money over off of all of us every month, and you're doing nothing.
I'll be honest,
nothing. We don't even have a superintendent.
What is that?
The person who's supposed to like take care of the building.
Oh,
she just like hires. Anyway,
oh,
I'm just
that's
like,
what super is short for?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
I never won superintendent. That sounds too powerful.
I know, and they also have superintendents at schools, so it's like, I guess, a multi-purpose
okay
title.
It's
like vice
nice
president.
That girl is kind of managing it, because like you always hope that your neighbors will be kind of the ones to make sure that nothing bad happens.
Well, the guy across the hall is willing to go to bat, and I appreciate that about him, because I am absolutely going to be like, yeah, whatever you say, I'm not making waves. I don't want my rent to go up.
No, he's a Disney gay. He's been going to bat his whole life.
It's true. It's true.
He leads with his fists.
He does. And
people
his ears, his Mickey
every
ears.
Direction.
Okay, should we bring our guest in?
Hi.
Boys, our guest this week is an amazing stand-up comedian. We love them so much. They're always so goddamn funny. They were recently on one of our Boys Club shows, and we're so happy they're with us today. Boys, please welcome to your ears, Joe Sunday.
Well.
If it isn't Joe,
you look like you're a writer in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah.
I curated this outfit specifically for you guys.
You look fantastic.
I love it.
I kind of wanted to.
I wish this was a visual medium. Did you think this was a visual medium?
There was a small worry in my mind.
Worry. Interesting.
I felt like I trusted you guys to not do that to
me. You should never be worried about being on camera. You're gorgeous.
Oh, stop.
It's true.
Some people should worry.
Stop.
Your skin is glowing.
Guys.
It's true.
Guys.
You're not so Monday. You're just Sunday. You're glowing, baby.
Sweet as ever. Sweet, sweet Sunday.
Okay. Seduce the boys. Check. Done.
That they got what they were looking for.
When you guys were talking and I wasn't invited.
I know. It's always awkward because I never even like to make eye contact with the guest.
It's hard because
and
then
I was making eye contact with you pretty hard.
It's tough. I never know what to do because I want to include the guest in the conversation. So I do want to look at you. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to like give you social cues to invite you to add because we've asked you not to. So it's always like, I don't want to then, you know, like tease you and like hold it in front of you. Like, look what you can
well,
have.
Well, nevertheless, I was getting teased.
Do you feel like there, if someone said to you, hey, say hi to your neighbor and you were in a workout setting, would you kind of say hi to them or are you evil?
Okay. Thank you for inviting me to this part of the conversation. I feel pretty strongly that people should be saying hi more.
Yeah.
And like being more social. And I would in fact even go so far as to say like, I don't think... Like, I want apartments to not have doors.
Wait, this one kind of doesn't.
and I
the bathroom
like
door. You haven't gone to the bathroom yet. The door doesn't shut. No worries.
Yeah.
No problem.
It is crazy to me that, like, I know my neighbors somewhat. Obviously, mm-hmm. I just told this tale of multiple neighbors of mine. So, and I live in a pretty small building, so I know most of them.
But you didn't side with them.
It was so hard because I was literally leaving to come here, and I was like, and she was looking at me like, it's okay. And I was like, I'm sorry. Because I'm, like, friendly with her, and I'm like, I want to be on your side. And I was like, I smell. But I was like, I genuinely didn't smell anything. So I was like, okay. I literally think I'm going to DM her after this and be like, sorry if that was weird. Yeah. I was, like, trying to leave and I didn't know what to say.
Oof.
Hope it, but I'm on your side anyway. But oof. It is weird.
Show don't tell.
I know. Anyway,
I don't know if I forgive you.
Was I bad for that? For saying I didn't know if it smelled like it?
I think it's like there's no practice for when you're supposed to stick up for a woman, and then it just happens, and you're like, oh my god.
I mean, at least
against
you didn't
another woman.
Side with the landlord.
I didn't. I just at said I was like, I don't know. I gotta go.
You're like, which women's narratives get to be brought?
Well, then
to
they
light.
Both fucked me over because then the landlord lady was like, oh, it's probably his stinky shoes. My shoes don't even
and
stink.
Like, you know what? I do smell gas. I do smell gas.
Yeah, and it's coming out of your ass, landlord.
You go up to your oven. You turn the gas on.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh
no, it's not your fault. But I would be anxious about it too. But you're usually not anxious in this way, so I wouldn't worry about it.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Wait, can I say though about neighbors? Yes. Okay, I'm from Ghana. Of course, it's gonna take me 5 seconds to reveal it.
You're our first international guest. Go
really?
On.
Yes. Hell,
I don't know if that's
you're
true either.
The numbers.
I am running the numbers, and I'm like Casey Shornima, George Saveris.
Oh, come on, Greece doesn't count. Then your next guest are going to be my cousin. But in Ghana,
we have only Ghanaians in Myanmar in May.
Yes,
May is Ghana month on Boys
May
Club.
Is Ghana month. Okay, so in Ghana, people are very, or at least like in like whatever the rural areas, people are very, you know, it's like village life, like leave your door open, in and out, whatever. And there's this thing that I think is so cute. Nobody closes their door, nobody locks their door, and you just walk up to somebody's door and you say caw caw caw, and then they reply me me me, which just means come on in and hang out.
Aww,
that's so nice.
That's so nice.
When Office I lived in hours. Chicago, my roommates and I had a huge like week long fight because I, and this is bad, refused to lock the doors
of the the front door.
Yeah.
I'll be on your side because I don't know them. But I, if I lived with you, I for sure wouldn't have.
No, by the end of it, I came around and I said, I'm really in the wrong here.
Because you're in Chicago and all.
I just never believe that anyone would wish me harm or want to rob me.
I know. Okay, harm? No. But like in the city, I do feel it. Every day I come home, my TV's still there. I'm like, you're kidding.
Yeah.
You believe somebody's coming in here?
I mean, I think it's like the main character thing of like, if someone's going to get robbed, like it's not gonna be
one time I was robbed under that bridge in Williamsburg.
Well, you were?
Yeah, they stole my
AirPods
Max.
You
told
me
I was robbed. You were robbed. Sorry, I was thinking
Wait, I know about
held
this.
At gunpoint.
Not not to no, be like obsessed with your life, but
you
I know.
Do know that.
I know.
How'd you know about that?
Because I listened.
It's a great story. It's one of my favorites.
Because you talked about it on this very podcast. I listened to it.
With Sam Taggart, it was that episode.
That was
reveal. I did.
That was nice. One of my favorite.
I'm in a parasocial relationship with you guys.
Can you define that? Everyone says that all the time. Is that yeah. when you respond to random men on the internet and then you create a parasocial relationship?
It's like often with celebrities, people feel like they're closer to them than they really are.
I have no...
But I think that's pretty common with podcasters because mm-hmm. you're listening in on a conversation yeah. between people. So you're hearing them talk casually a lot.
To be in... Yeah. Exactly.
Which no, is one of the... Were... Yeah. Sorry.
Nope.
I love that people... I love nope. that people are like... Oh, Connor, you're a side and an alcoholic. And I'm like, yeah, and you're a fan.
It is a weird one-sided interaction. It can be strange.
Like that.
You like it?
I think that's good.
See, I become wary of, I think it's good. Like, I like having, I was literally just talking about this with my therapist today. Because so much of my comedy, like my stand-up is like autobiographical and about my life and talking about being trans. And that can be great. And it can also be like, I don't want to talk about this today, or I don't want to talk about this in front of this audience. Mm-hmm. And then, like, with the podcast, I like that it's, like, people aren't coming to this podcast unless they really want it. That's what the numbers are showing. That's what the numbers are showing. And, yeah. and so I feel in good hands that people listening are people that I wouldn't mind, like, knowing certain intimate things about my life, or more, like, things I would more, I don't know, that I wouldn't necessarily talk about on stage because I talk more candidly here. But it is weird to be like, oh my God, so many people have been able to hear me talk candidly about things. Because I like, because when we're sitting here, it's just the three of us. But then as soon as it goes out, it's not. And that's weird. Yeah.
I know. I don't think that people are, could you imagine if we fell into the hands of haters of the alt-right?
God willing. But neighbors. I think I also would struggle with not having my door locked. But I also take your side on this.
And just to be clear, I was wrong.
You don't ever worry that you wake up in the middle of the night that someone will be looking at you?
I'm like, then look at me. Like, what's the problem?
Like that owl?
What?
There was, he sent me a picture yesterday where the, okay, do you know about Flacco the owl?
Just to be clear, we don't care about Flacco, but we will talk about it.
Flacco the owl got loose from Central Park Zoo. And there was this whole back and forth about should we get Flacco back to the Central Park Zoo? Should we let him be free? People were worried he wouldn't be able to sustain himself outside of captivity. He was killing and eating rats within seconds. So he's a New Yorker. He knows how to live. And there was a picture of him like outside this poet's apartment, like literally staring into her window. And it's kind of like, are they soul connected or something? Why did he seek her out?
I know.
But anyway, that just made me think of that, him looking through the window. But to your point about getting things stolen from, I'm like, there's so many like, just think about this street alone. How many people live on this street alone?
Hundreds.
Hundreds. Isn't it crazy to think about? Hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So, like, the odds are so low.
There's 14 units in this building. If any person in here decided to run a methadone, whatever, we would all, is that when you make meth? Start to make meth? Like, the whole building could blow up. If they decided to have their gas on, the whole building. We are in a contract.
Maybe that's what's
other.
Happening at yes, my apartment. Is something saying somebody's making meth?
Yeah, I could tell you. I feel like I can rattle off all the people that live in your apartment because I always look at the mail.
I know Connor literally looked somebody up the other day.
Some gorgeous girls up there.
Well, Connor, do you feel fear now after having the AirPods Max stolen?
No, I feel relieved because I have nothing left to lose.
Oh.
Yeah,
nothing left to lose.
It was stressful to have them. Like if you took my AirPods Pro, take them. They're so gross. They barely work. There's earwax in them.
Oh my God, then you're good.
They had orange lining on the top.
What's that?
Or on the inside?
Oh, the other ones because I have my spray tan.
Your spray tan was on them. Yeah.
Oh.
They literally did have spray tan on them. Wait, but not about me. I want to hear about you.
Okay.
How are you?
Wait, before we get into Joe's Boys Club, can I tell you guys about one meth lab that was down the street from my house?
What?
Which one? This one?
No, in Savannah.
In Savannah.
Wait, yeah. your parents' kidding. House?
My parents' house, yes. Down the street, there is this one. So, like, the way that Savannah is laid out is because it's intercoastal waterways. It's a lot of the, like, properties are, it isn't structured like a lot of neighborhoods.
Intercoastal waterway really is a riddle. Or you're just like, it's inner,
yeah,
it's coastal
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Water.
Like,
it's
definitely slow down on that one.
So, okay, so imagine the ocean. And then the ocean has, like, once it reaches the shore, there's, like, little rivers that go and, like, spread out almost like veins
totally.
Into the area. So, like, these, like, veinous, like, areas of rivers make up the Savannah area. So then a lot of the property, like the like high-end property, is along, people like to live on the river because it's like nice and water
wow.
access, and it goes out to the ocean. So because of that, Savannah is not laid out like a traditional city where there's like you know, in a fucked up way where there's like a rich area and then there's like a not as rich area and then there's like the impoverished areas. It's like super like weirdly spread out along these rivers.
Wow.
So anyway, there's a lot of random property around, and also because of that, a lot of these waterfront properties are like way off of the road and way out towards the water. So there was this one property that was like nobody really knew who lived there. And it was like way down this long
Monster
road,
house.
But it was on the water. So you could kind of see, and there was always like a fire and it was like weird. And every week they would have massive amounts of trash.
Like a bonfire?
I'm talking like a full couch.
Wait, that's so fun though.
So much trash on the street. And everybody was always like, they must be cooking meth. And then they like, somebody lost the property. And my dad, being the nosy guy that he is, shout out if you're listening, drove back there. And there's like a bunch of trailers back there and like all this, just a junkyard of stuff. But like people were living there. They think it was a meth lab.
Wait,
that's
isn't that crazy?
How come when you're making meth, you can't keep your same couch?
Because it smells like meth.
What does meth smell like?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I
either.
Thought it would be a sense of smell.
Like odorous? I don't know. Boys, write in if you know what meth smells like.
Tell us, boys.
Do you think any of our listeners know? I don't get it. I don't sense we're pulling a meth crowd, to be honest.
I'm not doing meth.
I think our boys are a little bit too anxious for this.
Yeah, your boys are seeming so buttoned up.
I'm anxious for your dad. Why are you trying to be the hero?
Not trying to be the hero, just trying to get the scoop.
Interesting.
He's always in on this
Dads
stuff.
Do that.
He grew up in a small town on a farm, so I think he just is used to knowing everybody's business. Mm-hmm. His dad, mm-hmm. super nosy.
What I really respect, though, is any man that will walk up to, when there's like a big fuss happening to like the cop or whatever and be like, what's going on here? So I know, I pay taxes here. I don't want to know what's going on.
I mean, some right to that, because sometimes like if the cops are shutting down like outside your building, it's like, you have to tell me what's happening.
Yeah.
You wanna be like, I live here.
Yes. Hey, we good? We good? It's chill, right?
Chill.
Wait, this happened one time. I was with my mom and we got in a car crash. It's a minor one. But the police came and they were being annoying. And then just this lady appeared out of nowhere and she was like, what's going on? Like, do you guys need help? And then
it was me.
And she was so awesome. She brought us ice cold Fanta and was just kind of like helping out because the cops were being useless. But then the cops knew her and they were like, Sharon, get out of here.
Wait, Karen bad, Sharon good.
Yes. Wow, the opposite of a Karen is a Sharon.
And then it was like Sharon had history with one of the cops.
I love that.
Where she was like their ex or something.
Wait, that's
wow.
So fun. Okay, pilot.
I know. And I love, like, he wronged her and she made it her mission to like make his
to always
help.
Pop up.
Yeah.
She's on the police radio being like, I'm following his ass.
Whatever Elsbeth is, it should be that.
Situation.
That's so fascinating.
They were like, get out of here. She was like, I don't have to. I brought Fanta.
Was she
her?
Did she?
She was a woman.
Did she bring you Fanta on her own volition or was it a request?
You know, I swear to God, she read my mind because we were there and then she left. She didn't ask a single question. She left. She came back with the Fanta.
Wow.
Ice cold, I'm telling you.
Orange.
Orange.
Love.
God.
You know they're innovating over there. Remember they had
the other flavors?
They had that mystery flavor, and I think it was pineapple. And
they
I think only I got it.
You know
it.
What? They're,
pineapple Fanta's really good.
In Atlanta, Georgia, they have the Coca-Cola Museum. Anybody is ever in Atlanta, check out the Coca-Cola Museum.
Whoa.
Very close to the Georgia Aquarium. You could probably do two in one day. And
is this an invitation?
The end, absolutely. If we're ever all in Atlanta, we're going. But at the end of the Coca-Cola Museum experience, there is a room that has all these like dispensers, and it has like all the different areas of the world and like the Coke products that they sell there. And South America has some incredible Fanta flavors.
Wait, like name one.
Pina colada.
Stop.
Yeah.
Not just pineapple.
Colada.
Why
yeah.
Why don't we have that here?
Horrible German one. There's, I forget what it was called. I just remember it was white with blue font and it was blech. Gross.
Ew.
German Coca-Cola
you
product.
Tried all of them?
Yeah, you can go like, it's like around the world, Coke around the world, and it's like
you
a bunch of different flavors.
It.
You would love it.
I would love
you
it.
You would love it. We should go.
My mom's always trying to go to the Spy Museum. I want to go to that. I don't like the Spy Museum.
The Coca-Cola Museum. It's really something.
That's really, see.
I don't remember anything else about it but the tasting room, but I was 9, so.
That's so Willy Wonka.
Yeah, it does feel very Wonka.
That's like one of those big Coke machines that we got in college. Okay, what's that thing? No.
Oh, those big like those big red ones that have like every flavor, and then they kind of all taste the same.
Freestyle.
They were like, that is so them. They do kind of all taste the same. You know what it is? I bet they're trying to save money because there must be some base thing that's like literally carbonated, and then they put syrup in it, rather than being like, here's all the Coke in that one. Here's all the Diet Coke in that one.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll blow the whistle on that.
No, the thing is so small. There's no way they've got all those drinks.
Innovation is a ruse. Okay, it's a money making, cost saving ruse. We're going too far with some tech, and that's an example. Connor's having his mind blown.
You've got to watch American Auto because there's this whole episode where they try to make it a car for cheaper.
Exactly.
And it's like fascinating. It's about capitalism.
Wait, so what is a reality show?
No, it's this sitcom, this workplace sitcom, and they work at a car company, I think in the Midwest.
Oh,
but
that
it's
sounds
like,
funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Okay.
You would
I'm
love it.
Watch it.
Like, I think you would.
Okay, I also love Anna Gasteyer.
She's really good.
Legend. Wow. Should we get around to some boys clubs?
What's a boys club that you are not a part of?
A boys club that I am not a part of is, okay. And you have to tell me if somebody has done this on a pod before.
We will.
I'll bring in another one. But
sneakerhead, sorry. It's always sneakerheads.
Really? Okay, for me, it's like, okay, I was thinking we could kind of bring in our religious themes that we all share.
Yes.
But maybe we'll do a little bit of like Protestant ex-Catholic cultural exchange. It's youth group, and specifically the boys in youth group, specifically the boys who looked the most like Jesus got to be the most popular and beloved. And even more specifically than that, do you guys know about the drum, the youth group box drum?
No.
I should pull up a picture. It's this amazing instrument. It basically is just a straight up box and you sit on it.
Oh, and you hit it.
Yes.
Yes, I have seen that.
Aha. Okay, you can hit the front, you can hit the side, and it like makes all kinds of different sounds. And it is so, okay, because in youth group, in big church with the adults, they sing. And then in youth group, we also do our own singing. And there was this amazing percussion instrument, that box drum. And it was always a boy who got to play it. So that's
classic.
A boys club that
this is Protestant.
Yes.
Mm.
And I want to hear about, is there a youth group in Catholic tradition?
Yes. But on the point of the boy getting to play that, it did always feel like always the boys got the coolest instruments.
Yes.
Always the boys got to do the percussion things.
Yes.
And always got to
never
be.
Never in my life have I seen a girl play that
no,
box.
No, never.
But you have altar servers Catholic, I guess, right? You don't have a
yeah, we didn't
of
have
that.
No.
Never mind.
Did
that was
you,
boys forever.
So we had like for Catholic school or for Catholic, you went to Catholic school. So you did your like religious studies at school.
Yeah, I got my Sundays back. I didn't have to go on the weekends.
No way.
I did Sunday school.
We went to
church. Did you do Sunday school? Like a church youth
you
group
know,
school?
I even. I'll reveal I had a time of teaching Sunday school.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I know. Connor just lost all respect.
The boys club you're in is you're a nun. You're a nun. You're devoting your life to God.
Wait. Okay. We talked about this ages ago. Like maybe like the fifth episode we ever had with Esther Fallick.
Yeah.
Who I love dearly. Where she and I were talking about having this shared experience of like leaning into faith at certain times in our lives. Uh-huh. That felt like, I don't know, something else must have been going on there for me. Because I went through a period in college where I was like going to mass at school.
Really?
So it feels similar where I was like
oh,
really
whoa.
Involved. Yeah.
Wow.
And there were times in my life where I would do like this was something that was, so Catholics, there's a decent amount of Catholics in Savannah, but definitely like the predominant religions are more Protestant, like mm-hmm. Methodist, Baptist. Mm-hmm. And that felt like an interesting divide where like the Catholics were like not as cool. Seeming because Protestants are more like the Anglo is definitely strong down there.
Yeah.
And
no, being Protestant can be really cool.
Yeah. And
especially
it felt like
especially the boys.
Yes. Yes. And they were like always doing cooler things and they had like Young Life and youth group and
yes.
stuff. So anytime I was able to like get involved in that, I wanted to because Catholics was like it was like way more dry and it was like the nuns and it was like there's nothing fun about this.
No,
we're not even
these
pretending.
These are like Birkenstock like boys.
Bull.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Like, okay, so college, I did this thing called Inner Varsity because I wanted to go on this thing called Beach Retreat,
uh-huh.
which is where we went to stay at the beach, but you were in Army Barracks. Okay. Which is horrible. And they were like, boy, girl, whatever. Totally. And one of the girls on it actually went on to be Glinda in Wicked for years. So it's like, I guess she does like gay people. But then another person got kicked out for having premarital sex. Doesn't matter. And really? So, yes, but the boys that were in my group, because we had gendered groups beforehand, because we had to like go. So by the time we got there, like Beach or Street was, it didn't seem like we were there for the beach, but we would like go and we would like hang out. And like, they were like really like Jesus-y guys, but not in a Republican way. Like, they might have been Republican, but they were kind of like hippies. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're describing? Is this true to everyone else's experience?
I know what you're talking about.
Are these different boys?
Wait. I'm so sorry.
And it goes without saying, they were hot.
One more time.
They were super hot.
Okay, and that's going to be part of it for sure.
And their name was like Dean.
Yes. Explain just what, because I was kind of.
They're all named Dean, and they're wearing a Life is Good shirt, and they're wearing Birkenstocks, and they have a guitar.
Yes.
And they're holding a thick Nalgene water bottle.
That's a man I do think will save me.
They rock climb.
Yes. Yeah. And their hair's kind of long, and they got a little bit of scruff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all the girls want to fuck them, even though it's youth group.
And the boys.
Completely.
Yeah,
and it's like, because it's so gender segregated, and it's like the girl part of youth group is boring AF.
Yes,
we're just sitting there talking about, like, I don't know, like, it's literally like you have to be like, I don't think I'm good enough. Like, even if you think you're fine, you just have to participate. And you have to, like, if you don't have an insecurity, like, you better make up one fast. And it's just boring AF conversation about that. And then the boys are literally like whitewater rat, like, they're always doing an awesome activity, having so much fun, like driving around the town,
like, yes, having fun. But I do think they're all like virgins, like, I think they're saving themselves for, like, and this is college, like, I feel like they were that type of guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
college. Yeah, I don't know what they did in college.
The underlining truths, I'm putting that in quotes, that they're trying to teach through that is that, like, women need to be thinking about how they can be subservient and how they can be perfecting themselves, while men are learning leadership things. And that's why they do these, like, whitewater rafting and stuff, because they're like, you are going to be the leader of your home and the leader of your community. And, like, that's what they're teaching you, like, under Christ. And it's sinister.
They would have killer parties, but there wouldn't be alcohol at them. It'd be around a bonfire. And in retrospect, that should have been my community. Yes. We should have been able to work on, like, yes. I'm sober. We should have been able to make it work.
But, you know, the tough thing is, even within the, like, even within that boys' youth group, then in there's a boys' club where it's like a couple of them are the leaders and a couple of them are, like, the cool ones. And I was never, ever going to be, like, I was at youth group all the time, but I was never going to be one of the cool people in youth group.
Yeah.
And that was hard.
I get that. Because it's like the social structures of your middle, high, or high school are like, they're not going anywhere.
Do you remember Amanda Bynes in Easy A?
Yes.
Isn't that this? Kind of that.
What is Easy A? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
I feel like I'm such a bad person.
No, I just saw it.
I don't know about stuff.
Joe, I literally just saw it this year, so I was also late.
Thank you.
But it's it's like 2010, maybe? Yeah. Emma Stone, and it's sort of like Scarlet Letter, but now in like a present day thing. But there is a character that Amanda Bynes plays, and it's so funny. And she's like the popular girl who is super religious. And
really?
It's exactly that, like,
oh, need to watch.
Kind of like cool youth group girl who's like,
yes,
super religious. Yeah.
I was really into God when I was 17. Did I ever tell you that?
I mean, I kind of knew that about you.
Yes.
Like, you always say you're a Christian comedian anyway.
Like, I have a brand on my arm. Do you see that brand? Don't look at the hair. I'm going to get waxed. The brand. Do you see that little white spot?
Yes.
It's a dove. I don't know if you can tell.
No way.
You branded yourself?
In two places, but I can only show you one.
Oh my God, did you brand your dick?
No, I would never do that. When people pierce their dicks, I'm like, you know that there's like really intentional I believe in God because of how intentional the penis is. Like, I'm just going to say it right now. It's like really intentional mechanics.
You believe in God via...
You think that happened by accident?
Yeah. No. I agree. Oh, these systems are working in incredible ways.
Yes.
An Elon Musk of sorts up in the sky.
No,
really.
Don't even put that on the Lord and Savior. Yeah, more like the devil. Anyway... where's your other one, but where did you
butt cheek, but so when I was in high school,
naturally
we went on, there's something so flirty about branding your butt cheek.
Yeah.
A little one,
cute.
But when I was in high school, we would go, so I was like a raging alcoholic and also like closeted more or less, and so we would go on these retreats called Kairos, which is Latin for the Lord's time, and this was like the worst part of my life. Everyone was mad at me. My parents were mad at me. I had like 11 therapists. I was kind of rough around the edges. I was kind of a bad kid, but gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So they like took me to this retreat because we all went in
gorgeous and tan, so you know,
gorgeous tanning addiction, etc. And we
the spray tan.
No
beds,
but one time the my beds. Mom was like, "You look amazing," and then it was like, "It's a spray tan," and then she got a spray tan. She's like, "Mine doesn't look like yours." It's like, there's no way. All spray tans are different, like snowflakes.
Wait, are you tanned right now?
No, do I look tanned?
Liar. Well, I don't know, but I like pale. Sorry, I'm interrupting your story. I actually love when white people have the kind of vampire.
I literally,
look
part
to
of
them.
This is like, I love how white you are. I was like, thanks. You feel crazy. I don't want to be like, thank you. I do too.
Finally,
yeah,
somebody saying
not allowed
it.
To agree.
That's so funny.
My eyes pop a little more when I have a little more color that's naturally inappropriate from the sun, but not from anything problematic like a tanning bed.
Okay. Well, if that helps you at all, if you want to move away from the tanning, know that I think your natural color is just
I think
beautiful.
If I got my teeth really whitened, not to make anyone at home upset, then I would be more comfortable in my body. But be like, because I look when I'm tanner, my teeth look whiter. It's crazy how many things can be wrong with a person.
Well, just get
or
your
how
teeth
many things
white,
can
then.
Be right with a person. Come on.
Just do
there's
the
nothing
teeth.
Wrong with you.
I feel like I should pay part of your copay. But we were
Connor's getting therapy by osmosis.
Yes, I also want to be tanner. I don't.
It's honestly like if everyone around you is in therapy, you're kind of somehow getting the benefits of that.
Oh,
you're
completely.
All these well-adjusted
oh,
people.
Completely, completely.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
I've only done a tiny bit of therapy. I'm like, I know what is disgusting there.
Yes, you're like, I did it. I saw it. I got it.
Yeah.
When in doubt.
Okay, sorry. Go back to Kairos.
Oh, but we went. It literally like you're like in the woods. You're like on a campground, and it's just guys.
Yeah,
and
it's
we're
going
all,
from bad to worse.
We're ripping cigarettes, and what? You're just like around a bonfire, and there's like really no supervision because they stay at like
Wait,
a different part
is,
of the ground.
It's grounds. Like a church group that took
it's through
it?
My high school.
Oh,
and not only did I love it,
oh,
and like
it was
find
Catholic
God.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
I like swear to God, I found God on this. Not only did that happen, but then I went on to become a leader on the next one because I was so affected by it.
Yes.
I quit the play Trojan Women to do it when I told the director of the play, who was 30 but wore movement clothes, even though this wasn't a musical. That's a problem. I was like, I'm quitting because I'm going to lead this Christian retreat. And I was like, are you mad? And she said, I'm furious. And in retrospect, I was like, well, I'm closeted and found God. So I don't know what you expect from me.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a lot happening there.
I did love God.
That's good.
Wow. Yeah. It was, I think when I was going, so because your point about, that never made, I guess I never thought about it like that before, about like turning to God in times of like whatever uncertainty is, has become like a thing. I don't know if it's God, but like the idea that I think God can be synonymous with like, honestly, like none of this totally matters because there's like God. And I guess people hear about God and find the opposite answer where it's like everything matters. But I think that, I don't know, the spiritual part of that, it's like, no, it doesn't really matter. It's all going to end in dust. Relax. God loves you and he's in the sky.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard people do this like on stand up. Like people will be like, does anybody hear and believe in God? And everybody's like, no. And I'm like, you don't have to believe in the Christian, Judeo-Christian
exactly.
God, but to just, but like, what do you mean? You don't believe in anything?
Yeah. What a failure of imagination.
You don't believe in anything? Like, yeah, I think we need to reclaim lowercase g God.
Fully.
Because
fully.
I think everybody.
God is so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the connection of the universe. It's like whatever the fuck is happening that is putting all of this together. It's the reason your dick is so perfectly organized.
Thank you. Like whenever a man doesn't believe in God, it's like, well, what do you think made me? From my whose image was I made in?
But
you know?
It doesn't even have to be that far. It could just be like, what is the connecting through line of all that's happening right now?
It's very unromantic to not believe in God.
Oh, so great.
Wait, do you think we lost all of our boys?
No, I think we have some believers.
Boys, I think the boys are
come
in the car.
Be
going
a
to
believer.
Church.
I'll send you some Christian youth group songs. You're going to believe
do you know
in
Trevor
about
Hall?
5 minutes. Who's that?
He's just like, well, he has dreads.
Again, I'm so sorry.
He's this just like white guy who like maybe has dreads and maybe doesn't.
Oh, no.
And he's for sure from the Pacific Northwest. And
from bad to worse, again.
All of his songs are called like Unity or like they're about Jesus and just like being love. It's just like loved it. It was I went to the concert by myself and I lived in Chicago.
I'm going to get into him.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Wait, on the point of stand-up audiences, I feel like probably a lot of people believe in God in some way. But I feel like when a stand-up asks the audience a question, people want, they either want to like help or they don't, or they want to say the right answer.
Yeah.
So they're not going to admit. I feel like it's a similar thing when a stand-up is like, do you guys want to get married or do you want to have kids? in Brooklyn, the audience is, no one ever says yes.
Put me in your front row.
I guess I do.
Some of you do.
Do you want kids?
Ugh, tough to say. Really tough to say. I really want like a niece or a nephew. I want to be running around with a kid. Do I myself want to have one that I'm responsible for all the time? That's going to be tougher.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I would love to be an uncle. Don't want to do anything further than that, I don't think. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a massive, massive undertaking, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
I don't think you could even fully conceptualize how much of an upturn of your life it would be.
Yeah. No, and especially right now with the way I'm acting and the way that every decision I make is wrong, I couldn't possibly bring another person into that.
And there's not even a youth group around to put them in. I mean, nobody in Brooklyn believes in God.
It would streamline our purpose on this world. We'd wake up every day, not in a good way, but I think that's what kids offer people, is that it gives you a really, not in a good way, so I should front porch that. I think it's just those people are like, oh, now I know exactly what my purpose is.
You know what I would
Your priorities are clear.
To have a kid with like six of my closest friends who I trust a lot.
Okay, pilot. That is, yeah. That's true. That's what parenthood should be.
Fair enough.
I don't believe in a throuple, but whatever. I don't want a throuple, but I want whatever that is.
That's what I used to say, that I would have a kid, but only if I had like an actual village around me. Like 10 people who were like at the ready. Then I think I would.
I know.
I like kids a lot.
When people say it takes a village, I think that comes out of a real human, like, that's how we were supposed to live.
Completely.
And that's how it was supposed to be. And the way that it's going now is completely fucked.
Well, in this country.
Yeah. Two people raising a kid. No. One man, one woman. What?
No, the nuclear family. I'm so scared of it.
Yeah.
What if I had like a baby and I brought my baby to open mics and like the shows and I was just like, oh, there's my baby.
Seriously?
And everyone in the comedy community, they all hate each other but love the baby.
No, that all brings us together.
Everyone took an ownership over the baby.
But you want to have a husband and a baby, right?
I somehow feel outed as a husband. There's nothing gayer than wanting a husband.
It's beautiful.
I think I ultimately do want those things, but it's going to have to take time because... To the point earlier, I think people that have kids, literally, that is what they want more than anything in the world. And I don't think that I want that more than anything in the world. And so when it comes to the word priority, the P word, that would not be a priority for me.
Of course,
it would have to be. It would become the priority.
Of course, because first you need to become famous.
Yeah. I know. I am in it for the fame, not the work. But I am in it for the fame.
Yeah.
Remember Tessa Bell came on and she was like, I want people to write, mother forgot to clock out of the mother factory. Someone did say that, read a comment in my reel today, some child wrote, spill mama or something like that. And I was like, okay, my child is my parasocial relationship with my kids.
Spill mama. Oh my Christ.
Wait, something you guys were talking about earlier when you were talking about, child actors. Do you think, okay, if two people have a bio child, do you think you can tell from looking at the parents if the kid is going to be hot?
How old is the kid?
Oh,
like before they're born, when they're, because you were saying Mary Kate and Ashley.
Here's my
part where I said, how old is the kid? That somehow feels crazy. I'm like, so it's
and just to reiterate, please cut out everything I said.
Okay, here's my hot take. I think there's a difference between hot and beautiful.
Oh, of course.
And I think you can
dig in.
I think you can know when a kid is going to be beautiful from the from the jump. I think there are hot people who are not beautiful kids.
Wait, I need to think really hard about this one.
Yeah.
For a second, I was like, the moment they pick up a flower, you're like, that's going to be a beautiful person.
No, I just think that there are certain features that sort of transcend childhood to adulthood. There are certain features that we like in children, and we think that's a cute kid, we think that's a cute teen,
completely,
we think that's a cute
completely.
Adult. And I think that there are features that like maybe come out as a bit awkward in those like earlier years,
like,
but then
features?
They blossom.
What features?
I don't know if I exactly know what it would be, but there are definitely like people I see now as adults where I'm like, wow, you really turned out super hot. And when we were in middle school, nobody looks good in middle school, but like when we were kids, I was never like, oh, this person's going to be super attractive.
Oh.
But now they are.
Like,
but I also,
anybody I would know?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
I'm so curious.
Let me think on it and see if I have anything. But I do feel that's my theory on it.
I like that.
But I think from the parents, not always, because sometimes parents are like, mm-hmm. you're like, what? And then they've got a gorgeous mm-hmm. kid.
Well, you know who made me think of this? I really don't mean to insult these poor people on air, but Zendaya's parents look really, really normal.
And she's gorgeous.
It's so
and
flattering the way you call Zendaya. This air. Like that's interesting. But then do you think that her, if she were to go and have a kid, it'd be like, can a hot person have a hot kid? I feel like it's kind of like everything's working at that moment in that thing. And then once you throw other stuff into it, it's like, now it's different.
Mm.
There's like the perfect moment in time where it's like, this was the perfect generation of hot.
You know, and just to be completely honest and transparent, well, actually, I don't know. I was going to say if I had a kid and they were hotter than me, I might struggle. that. But I actually think I could handle it. I think it'd be okay.
I think it'd be kind of nice because you could be like, look at this. Mm. Fucking look at this. Beautiful.
You're proud of it.
You're proud.
I think a lot of like moms and daughters especially, I think that really is a push and pull
that's so true.
Being talked about.
That's so true. I feel like that's something
so interesting.
That's like being a man, I would be like, I'm proud. Look at my gorgeous son or my gorgeous daughter. You know what I mean? But then there's not yeah. that like societal like of women aging and feeling yeah, less. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah. That's yeah, so yeah. true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't have, this is so different for fathers and sons.
It's not really about that.
My dad never called me hot, and anytime I'd ask, he'd be like, I'm your dad.
Yeah, good. That's good.
He's like, what's the right answer?
Yeah. He shouldn't be consulted on such things.
I know. And then sometimes I'll post a hot picture on Instagram and I'll say, you didn't like it. And he'll say, I didn't think it was for me.
And you know what?
Exactly.
He's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I miss the olden days when that was true. When parents were really kind of, you know, there was a line.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we do the next boys club?
What's a boys club you're not a part of?
No, well, we just did that
boys
one.
Boys club I'm not a part of.
What's a boys club you are a part of?
Okay. A boys club I am a part of. I'm thinking reddit.com.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Which one? What do you read about?
And it, can I pee before we discuss it?
Absolutely.
Please. Oh, I want you
Thank
to.
Thank you. Okay.
The door won't shut all the way,
listeners,
but it will be.
Boys. A BRB.
Christians.
Lovers.
Do you think they're mad that we said that it's weird to hate God? I do think that. Oh, should we still do it?
We can keep talking. Well, because we'll just cut this if we don't want to. But I don't want to take this off. No, we said it's weird if you don't believe in anything. So I guess I'm railing against atheists a bit.
I think that. You know, most
most atheists? Most atheists are really...
Wait, it's like that movie with that girl who just slept with that student.
What?
That we saw with
May December. Schaefer. Yeah.
Yes. Remember, I thought that movie was going to be something that we talked about for a lot longer than we ultimately did. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And Saltburn. I thought that those movies were going to be like such moments in time.
I saw those on the same day.
That's crazy.
And they're both fine, but interesting. So I guess to each their own with the atheism conversation. If you don't want to believe in anything, by all means, believe in what you want to. But I just think that there's clearly something connecting the universe. There's something, whether it's a computer program or a almighty being who is all-powerful or just the energy of the world, there's something that we have that is greater than us. That we have to just acknowledge.
Do you know the song Dawn's with Zach Bryan and Maggie Rogers?
Yes.
Maggie Rogers comes on and she says, I should have told him twice that I believed in something bigger than both of us.
Yeah.
I miss going out to bars, shooting stars, not worried about what's left of us.
Yeah.
That's about God.
I think so. I like the song by Tyler Childers, Universal Sound, because that also feels that like he's like talking about... How he's just listening to the universal sound.
See, I do like country in that it's like, let's make God cool again. Let's bring it back to God. And a God that makes us love each other. A God that's kind.
I agree. I think the world needs to turn back to God, but I don't mean that in a, any sort of specific religion or any sort of, man-made structure on religion, but by like that, I mean connection and gratitude and humility.
I'll say it. Love.
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 Love used to be the thing that bound us all.
To quote the Black Eyed Peas, where's the love? Mm. Where is the love? That's a classic song.
This is a podcast about love.
That's a fucking classic.
I've been trying to. I can't date an atheist because an atheist has too many hard opinions. That's too hard of an opinion for someone to fall in love
agree.
With.
Completely agree.
And one of their hard opinions is that we're not going to spend forever together. That's interesting. Interesting
hard opinion. Did we didn't. We already did the second boys club? No, we didn't.
What's the one you wanted? Wait,
yes. And then you peed and then you came back.
Yes. Okay. Fresh from peeing. My boys club that I am a part of is reddit.com.
Yes, 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 yes. Right.
What? I love Reddit, and I think when you want to know
I'm also
truth,
into Reddit.
Yes. When you want to really know, you Google something, something Reddit.
Of course.
And that's how you know.
Of course. And that was my into it.
On what category?
Okay. My Reddit is very, very diversified. I'm in a lot of subreddits. And what I'll tell you is I have two accounts on there. One is a girl, one is a boy.
Obsessed.
Binary.
Okay, yeah. So I have some girl subreddits that I go on. And it's so fun because I can be like kind of a girl incel and a boy incel. Like girl incel Reddit is like, there's this subreddit called Vindicta. Do you guys know about it?
Uh-uh.
No, because it's like actual like incel stuff. And then the boy Reddit is like the jaw surgery Reddit is like very like boy.
So, wait, like jaw incel. Implants?
Well, implants are part of it, yeah.
Like to get nicer jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, we might be on the same Reddit.
You two have been Maybe talking to each other on Reddit. Together. You didn't even know.
You're giving me recommendations to New York doctors.
But then, honestly, the most fun is like the co-ed Reddit, where I can go on there and kind of weigh in about someone else's relationship, and I'll weigh in from like. The girl side where I'll be like he get him out of here, dump him immediately, and then I'll go on the boy side and be like, well, actually da, da, da,
da. Okay, what's Vindicta?
Vindicta is what is it? It's a subreddit that is about women becoming hotter and beautiful. Like, have you heard of like looks maxing? I feel like that's a trend on TikTok right now. Maxing. You haven't heard Mm-mm. of this? It's just like it's like becoming hotter. And
wow.
They're discussing.
I think
like,
I've been doing it without
you're
hearing
gonna do
about
that.
It.
Yeah, you probably have been. Yeah.
Wow, you invented something you didn't
Get
even know was happening.
And then I can't remember if I'm confusing it with another subreddit, but it's like pretty closely related to subreddits where they're talking about like straight women's dating advice in a very specific way that it's like the women's version of Andrew Tate, where it's like you need to become a high value woman so you can attract a high value man.
Wow.
I don't know why I'm on there. I don't believe that stuff. I'm like doing like anthropology or something.
It is interesting.
It's so fascinating to
it's
me.
It's fascinating.
And it's more fascinating than TikTok, and I don't know why. I don't know if people are just more honest or if it's easier to find things on Reddit.
It's more anonymous, so I think people definitely are more honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no one's putting on a show on Reddit.
Yeah, no.
People get
I mean, you're
so
quite
honest.
Literally putting on a show. You're quite literally perform, like playing a
role. Yeah.
But I think most
I'm
people are
it.
Their most honest selves on Reddit. They literally are.
I think that's why I'm into it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas TikTok,
like,
everyone's like, look
really
at me.
Speak your mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Reddit's
yeah.
very honest.
Wait, mm-hmm. So are you are at, like writing things on Reddit? You're not just reading things?
I am mostly reading, but these days I'm commenting more and more because I am like, yeah, I'm anonymous. Let me speak my mind.
Yeah.
Let me hop in there.
Taking up space.
Mm-hmm.
Telling men how to fix their jaws.
What about you? Do you talk on Reddit or are you just reading?
No, sometimes I would. One time I defended a SoulCycle instructor. I was in like what people were saying. But in general, I really don't comment. I just read. I'll always be like, chest, mass, gains, Reddit. Because then you kind of have bros tell you what exercises you really need to do to like build mass fast.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I look up on Reddit?
That's maxing.
Are you in? Yeah. Are you in like what is it? 1200 is plenty. 1500 is plenty.
Is that eating disorder Reddit?
Yeah.
Oh,
trigger
no.
warning.
It's eating disorder Reddit for like the people who don't want to admit. Because there's Eating Disorders Anonymous, but that Reddit like probably freaking sucks, to be honest.
Well, I was on a bulking cutting phase right now. I bulked for 10 weeks, which I know that's not enough. And then now I'm cutting. But I got bored of it. I needed change. So now I wouldn't say I'm cutting. I'm just like living more frugally in terms of what I eat. Am I in trouble?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's going to be mad about that.
Mm.
If she even cares. That's a test.
We'll cut it for her.
Okay.
Leave it.
Okay.
But So yeah, so like this summer I wanted to be the hottest that I've ever been in my entire life. So I realized that started with like eating way more and like kind of like trying to like build muscle and carve out my body. Mm-hmm. And then so then after that, you just kind of have to like kind of like to just sculpt the edges, just like kind of like do a little bit more cardio and eat normal. Not even under, just normal. Is this bad? Did I make it bad? Was this not an enjoyable space for people anymore?
Wait, I loved
it. No, it's good.
I loved it. You know what's really fun? Now, am I going to be in trouble for saying this?
You know,
like science Reddit.
Science Reddit.
Because Reddit is also a place where people who are like real experts in something will go there and discuss. Like, I love being in Reddit where in Reddits where it's like, only if you're like a real academic are you allowed to comment. And I don't dare comment there. I don't dare to say a word, but people will like put like an actual scientific article and discuss.
Wow.
I'll just keep quiet and read it.
About what? Climate.
About like the skincare addiction Reddit is actually very science based.
Is it telling us that we only need like one product and it's like a moisturizer?
I cannot even get into it. Like there's a lot over there.
I think we're not supposed to do like anything for our skin. Is that wrong? I think we're supposed to do like one thing.
I don't know.
Like clean your face.
It's so hard to know because it's like on the one hand, like what were they doing when we were like first starting out? What were they doing
as humans?
Yes.
We were like a carny Adam and Eve story called First Starting Out.
When we were like, what were they doing back then? But
well,
their
skin probably just wasn't that good.
You think?
Yeah.
And they didn't care? Or is there just like more shit in our everything now? So it's like making our faces more oily or like adding. And then like, I think about this all the time. Like, I'm like, I can't not wash my face before bed because if I've been out, because it's like, who knows what's blown onto my face in the New York streets?
So disciplined.
I found a bug in my hair.
Pollution actually
the other
does
day.
Affect your skin.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. So that's the other thing where it's like, on the one hand, should we be doing what they did? Like, that's what I always say about like when people are like, I'm doing a caveman diet. And it's like, well, our lives are different now.
Wait, I
so
want
to are we supposed to just do what we did when people were, when we were first starting out, as I said before? Or do we have to adjust to what we're existing with now?
There's no historical, they never talk about pimples or anything.
Because they didn't have sunblock. I assume. Or maybe they did.
I don't know. I was thinking
but
about
also
that.
Also, their lives were shorter.
That's true. And like, were they dying of skin cancer? I don't know.
Like, on that boat that I was on, trapped on, they were like,
cruise ship.
You were so intimate with the sun. And they, like, what about 100 years ago? There wasn't even sunscreen. So
I wonder if they used like mud or something.
Oh, yeah, probably some cultures.
They probably also were just like, why don't we hang out in the shade?
Exactly, in the shade, having a big hat. The answer, though, is retinoids.
I know I'm supposed to be on that.
Me too. My life is in shambles right now, but that's one of the things I need to do is really sign up for.
I feel like we all three have the same. I'm going to call it a disease because I have no other word for it, where we are always thinking our lives are in shambles because we think that there's so much we should have control over.
Wait, if we got like a...
Because I see both of you as having your lives very much together.
Wait,
I am sober.
Shocked. I was going to say this about you guys.
And it's, but I think we all three have this like never ending sort of like there's something that could be improved, maxing, if you will. And like,
I mean, yes, but I'm also like, I'm not living right now.
From the outside looking in, which end perception is what matters the most. okay.
Then yeah, maybe I do have the disease.
What if we got producer and it was just the person who was the most of a wreck of a person we've ever met? I bet the tone of this podcast would change because we'd be like, "You seem like you're doing amazing." We'd be like, "You're like, you're doing amazing." And we'd be like, "Jill,
she's crying in the kitchen.
Yeah,
she didn't hit record.
Jill, you pay your rent this month.
Beef like, jerky."
Yeah, we need like a train wreck in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To kind of put things into perspective for this.
Should we sign up for Tretinoin together?
Is
I
that,
wish you could do it as
Is that what it's called?
Well, there are different kinds, but that is
That's
like the
important
most
one.
Effective. Yeah.
I need it. Like I'm almost the big 3-0. I know you're like, are you like 19?
Yeah.
I'm almost the big 3-0. And I'm not embarrassed of this. But do cut that. No, you can keep it.
Wait, Nika, how old are you?
26.
Oh, good age.
And a half.
Okay.
When's your birthday?
Not for another 3 days.
I always think it's the 13th.
14th.
14th.
So April 14th is my half birthday.
Wait, that's so
What do you
want to
do
oh,
for
your
it?
Half birthday.
Yeah, my half birthday.
Oh, of course.
Nothing, because it's my half birthday.
Did I make
not
you feel
a real
special
thing.
On your actual birthday?
No,
I believe so. I felt good on my actual birthday.
I don't think I did. I think I was there.
Yeah, but that's great.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Do you like birthdays?
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I have When's not yours? Celebrated my birthday in years.
You're like, it's today.
No, I literally do the thing so annoying of like purposefully don't tell anyone that my birthday is coming, and then no one says happy birthday to me, and then I'm like, I'm so sad and I'm so alone.
Wait, I was seeing a guy for like 2 months on my birthday last year. At that point, I didn't even tell him because I was just like, I don't know what this is, and it feels too intimate and weird to like celebrate my birthday.
Yeah.
She's just like, don't bring it up.
It's tough when you start dating someone and their birthday comes up.
That happened to me with my ex. It was literally like we met 2 days before their birthday, and then like 2 days into sex, and they were like, it's my birthday, and I was like, oh my god. But it was like 2 days, so I was like, happy birthday. That's it.
Yeah.
They're less than a coworker at that point.
Like, yeah.
You have more of a connection to your landlord's sister that yelled at you today than you did that.
Honestly, person. Who thinks my shoes stink? She'll be hearing from me.
I was dating someone, and their birthday came pretty like early on in our relationship, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna get them a gift with a lot of meaning and metaphor." And
it, love.
Like, something so stupid. They wore Doc Martens, and so I got them this like Doc Martens shoe shine.
Nice.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, I wrote in the card, I was like, you might not need this but right now, but I hope I'll still be around in the future when you do need it or something.
Wait, were you?
And they were like, what?
Obsessed.
and we were together for a long time, and they never touched it.
I love that you're like, your shoes are dirty. You got dirty shoes.
Joe's going to up it next time. He's going to be like, so I bought you a grave plot, and I hope to be here when you use it.
I cannot wait to lie.
I can't wait
Lily
to bury you in this.
Were they in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I don't know why I thought that would be so poetic and romantic. You know what's a big problem?
It's good
for
to
me?
Be young and take a swing like that. I was always doing shit like that. You know how many letters I've written girls in my life?
Yeah.
Oh, my Christ.
Oh, exactly. No, I love being so young and just so dumb and foolish. You know what's a big problem? Wait, you say.
I love this. Go on.
No, say.
If you're not going to be young, dumb, foolish now, then when?
Exactly.
When's the time?
Exactly.
Be a simp. I Googled simp the other day. I didn't know. I don't know that I totally knew what it was when you mentioned it. And then I Googled it and I was like, okay. What a beautiful thing to be. To love with no abandon in a world that's hurling towards the sun, as they keep bringing up.
Yes.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Simps with good self-esteem. That's the goal. If you're a simp and you don't have good self-esteem, then you run the risk of being stomped on.
Uh-huh.
I think we do have good self-esteem. Even in chaos, I think it's like, okay. It's okay, I'm a star. No offense, we're stars. So it's like, hey, literally obsessed with you. No worries if it's not reciprocated.
Oh,
I'm kind of a star.
You're literally rising stars. Gonna
no,
be on
you
HBO
are too.
Tomorrow.
But I think like everyone in this room, and I've said this before, so everyone in this room and whoever was in that room when I said it last, I forget who our guest was. We do have like a strong sense of self even through the chaos. And I think that's really beautiful. And like in this world,
I think that's true.
I would never want to lose that. I hope we never lose that.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that like when you're young, every rejection is horrible. Mm-hmm. But as you grow up, like, because I think when you're a kid, obviously there's a million rejections as a kid, but like there's so many, there's like most teams, everybody gets a spot, and most, you know, other extracurriculars, everybody gets a spot.
Yeah.
And like there is some stuff with academics there can be, and like not getting into school. So you are facing rejection, but like in ways that are predictable and that you expect. But I feel like as an adult, you're experiencing rejection all the time in so many ways, and like all these little obstacles that just make being alive hard. And so I think you just get stronger in that rejection. And then it's like, okay, well, this is one piece of my whole life. But it takes a long time to get there. So that's cool that you feel that way. Because I it's so hard to not feel the pain of rejection.
Yeah. And I do. To be honest, rejection is something that I have a really hard time with.
Oh, same.
And so this
I need to be loved by everybody.
Don't you think in this industry, podcasting, that we have to... Do you feel like the three of us, though, like we're
audio
rejected all the time? I went on a gay cruise and everyone, they tried to throw me overboard. Like, I swear to God.
There was a coup.
They hated everything I said.
Totally.
Not literally everything, most of it. They really hated most of it.
I hope there's one guy from the cruise listening right now who is like, I had a great time.
I hope they say
You just need one person. There could be 100 people in the room. You just need one.
That's sweet, Lady Gaga. Bradley Cooper.
You can build a following brick by brick.
Yeah.
1%. Maybe 1%. The guy who said he had 19 syringes of filler in his dick is listening. I didn't tell you that.
You did tell me that, actually.
Did I tell you that?
What filler?
It's like, no longer God's filler? Dick. It's his dick.
I know. It's like, why are you trying to mess with what was made in God's image?
Yeah, trying to defy God. Don't do that.
Don't try that.
Also, 19 syringes.
It's not going to get longer.
Plumper.
It's just going to get plumper.
They have been trying to figure out how to make dicks longer forever.
I don't get it.
And they won't.
Get a strap on. Until the size you want.
Until they commit to really funding gender-affirming care, nobody's getting a bigger dick. So...
He said 90. That's like an incomprehensible amount of money if he's serious. And then I say, can I take a picture of your bulge for my close friend's story? And he said no.
Don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness. No, that's a crime.
It's also like,
do
why
that.
Did you get all these syringes if you didn't want people to take pictures of it? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
What were you wearing, toots? That's what you're just giving.
We can't.
Sorry to victim.
We're supposed to take a picture of that? Why are you bringing it out? Put that thing away if you don't want anybody to suck it.
I also just like. Not to be so anatomical. Never mind.
Wait, say.
An erect dick, from what I understand, and I don't know all erect dicks. Uh-huh. I know more than I should. But I feel like it's like the blood flows to the dick. Mm-hmm. What does adding hydroluronic, isn't that what it is? Hydroluronic acid. Uh-huh. It's like an acid.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't that affect how it would become erect? I don't understand that.
I don't either.
I feel like it would be like outside the part where the blood is.
Yeah, more like in the muscular tissue.
Yeah, like it's not going to be in the blood vessels and veins.
Now, this is where we got to get on Reddit and ask these exact questions.
And they
because
would
this
know.
Is where the answers are.
They would break it down for you immediately.
Yeah.
And ever since I met this guy and then Googled extensively, I've been getting hit with all these ads for like all the different things that you can do to your midsection. Like
shaft.
And behind, like you can get Botox in your butthole so it like relaxes it for anal. And I'm crazy for being assigned. I'm the crazy one. Sorry for making this so PG.
Wait, do you guys want to hear my other opinion about Reddit or or a deep romantic trouble that I have?
Both?
I want the deep romantic trouble of Reddit first.
Okay, my other thought about Reddit is that it's really one of our last websites.
Yes.
Like, where would you go and have a website where there's, like, a lot of stuff that's still there where you can read?
Oh, and you know they have no web developer. They have not hired anyone since 1999.
Well, because those mods are running it like the actual army.
Yeah.
How do they make money?
Because the mods work for free. They literally get paid in, like, a power trip.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's a self-sustaining thing. It's like all social media. It's like we are funding it by contributing to it.
The Reddit algorithm.
But I think Reddit does ads. I think that's probably how they make money. But
not so many.
Yeah. Like on the sides maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's like TikTok. I love TikTok and I don't think the government should take it from us against our will. I love that they have one ad and you click through it and you don't have to look at it again. Take my data. I don't care.
What's going on with those Jesus ads?
Oh,
I know. Those are intense.
They're good, right?
They scare me.
Are they bad?
I have no idea.
Listen, I'm wary. I'm wary of anything.
Yeah.
That save his heart.
Yeah.
Is that what it says?
It should be like he cares. He listens. He loves.
It's like I want them to be good and altruistic and really preaching, like the word of Christ is like beautiful and altruistic at its core, at its basis thing. And I'm always hoping that they're right. But it, like I said earlier, they're always pulling the rug out from under us.
Yeah.
And so I'm really wary of any
just so
organization.
Odd because they never say like, what do they want from us? What are they selling? What do they want us to come to?
Yeah.
Like it's always just like, Jesus was an awesome guy.
And it's always like a vague situation.
It's so
and there's
vague,
a website
always.
Attached. And a number 1-800-JESUS.
I don't know.
Maybe I should call the number one day, see what's going on over there.
I'm very jealous of Jewish people because what I like about Judaism is they have like a really strong cultural tie and there's so much ritual that's really beautiful and surrounding like family and like the Seder is such a beautiful practice. And yet there seems to be a lot of like Jews in America, at least that I know, that are like able to like sort of separate themselves yeah. from the parts of it that they don't like, but yeah. still have this like rich culture and this rich like family tie. And I wish I had something more like that, because I think that's what I'm
You're
sort of seeking.
So right. They do not play about getting together for dinner.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
Well, I told you that I want to do a crucifixion. Is it, was it going to be a nativity story or a crucifixion story?
Well, we could do both.
We could do the whole series.
People
we could
don't do crucifixion story.
I know.
That
we oughta.
Kind of edgy.
I would love that.
we go to Club Cumming with a full ass cross.
I love
Julian. Can we get this on the stage?
Oh, I'm always stunned at how much I know about it.
Dinner before
this Last Supper.
Oh my yeah. god!
I know.
The Last Supper called the dinner before.
See, you're understanding the tone.
I always think it's
from
funny.
When we first started to the dinner before and everything in between.
My school would do
the boys club Christ narrative
play every day, every year, not every day. Could you imagine? It was a
well, we've
school.
Talked about before the glow in the dark production.
The glow in the dark. I literally think about that. I was like, some nun used her stipend to go to the toy store one year and just like got it on clearance. It was like, so you have a glow, it was either glow in the dark or normal, and you wouldn't find out until you were there. But if it was normal, Jesus had to be a boy because he had to take his shirt off. And that was really important to the production. But then also the two thieves on either side of him had to take their shirts off, which I think is stupid because you have to do nudity when you don't even get top billing, which is kind of fucked up.
And it's like, why are three children now shirtless in the church, in the Catholic church? We've got three shirtless boys.
Yeah. And I have like a lot of anxiety about getting cast in that
It's
role.
Like they're not even trying to get themselves away from what, like they're just kind of keep putting their hand on that stove.
What if they did it like, if I had to direct a middle school production of The Crucifixion right now, gun to head, I think I would set it in a totally different place and time.
Like, steampunk Crucifixion.
Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. Like Ireland in the 80s.
Abu Dhabi.
This is The Crucifixion, but it's also the French Revolution.
That's fun.
You're on the Christ, you're in the guillotine.
Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, let them eat cake. Bad.
Yeah.
Let them eat Christ. It's writing itself.
I know. And we act like there's no ideas left.
Yeah.
There's so many ideas.
Get creative.
Wait, this is my thought about that whole story.
The Crucifixion.
Well, even after, right? Okay, let's discuss.
Like, story?
Right, that whole
You mean the truth?
You mean crime?
Right.
You mean the true crime story of the century?
Wait, what I always think about is, remember how Barabbas was this, like, killer that was let out so Jesus, they would take Jesus in? Do you remember this?
Of course.
What happened to Barabbas? I want to know where he went.
I think he died.
Really?
I mean, eventually.
They let this serial killer out, and then they never, it feels like a Bible blooper. They like let Pontius Pilate is like mm-hmm. so Pontius Pilate is not a bad guy because he's like
okay
he's like you guys want me to kill Jesus?
The story of Pontius Pilate.
He literally is like pro Jesus. He's kind of like, this feels like a lot. He's like,
really?
What?
I didn't know that.
He's like,
he
dude, can
such
you just...
a bad rap.
Yeah, he does, but he's kind of like he's like a simp.
It's tough when you're Pontius Pilate. That just feels like it's got like dark energy.
And yeah, his wife has
Hunger
a dream
name.
Yeah,
but I think it's cool that he let his wife speak at that time. Like, it was a different time.
Wife.
Yes, his wife was part of it. She had a dream. I forgot what it was. And so it could have been that interesting. She's always talking. And but
so she's yapping away
about her fucking dream. But then he says, would you rather me free Barabbas or this guy? I don't know if they needed to like make room in the jail. I have no idea. But Barabbas is like a
no
bad
room
guy.
At the inn, no room at the jail. Is oh a, my
wait,
god.
What
Bible
part
is a story
of the story
about
is
not having room.
This is what, when he's about to be crucified?
They take him to see, they have to get like the okay from Pontius Pilate. Yes. So this is before he got kind of condemned to cruise.
He was in jail.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He was like in captivity. Like,
okay.
Kind of under control of them. Because remember.
I love this. You really know.
I know way too much.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because musicals or animated. There used to be always animated movies around the time of Easter on like PBS or something. But in musicals, there's one musical because Judas sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver.
Of course.
And he's like, for 30 pieces
yes!
of silver. And there's, I want a conversion rate. Give me a conversion rate, please. I gotta know.
Oh, yeah.
That's gonna be.
Yes.
How much money would it take for you to give up Jesus?
Jesus? What's my connection to him?
You're a disciple. Like, he's your homie.
You're the 13th disciple, though. That was Judas's big problem.
Yeah. Oh, you're a disciple, but you're like kind of feeling on the outskirts.
Yeah.
It was a jealousy thing.
He was at the end of the Last Sup.
Oh my god.
Or maybe he's right next to Jesus. I honestly can't remember.
I think
I don't remember where Judas is in the portrait.
The
What's
left.
Difficult is that sometimes our understanding of it is through Renaissance paintings, and they weren't there.
Oh my god! It's like the dinosaur thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard about this?
That they might have been feathered.
Well, yes. And also just that, like, our idea of what dinosaurs look like, it's like the shrink wrap theory where it's like we have the skeletons. And so then we just imagine that the skin is just like right over the skeleton tight. But yeah. It's like, that's not how animals actually are.
We'll never know what dinosaurs look like.
Where did you read that? You never brought it up. You never thought it up before.
What, that they maybe had feathers?
You never wanted to share your biggest conspiracy theory. Are you kidding
me? Yeah, what evidence do we have that they were like reptilian? Because that's kind of like how they that's their vibe.
You Chicago's not fucking around. You rolled up to campus, they said, sit down, take out your books, let's go.
I mean, it was really kooky crazy.
You learned that in school?
No, I learned that on Twitter like 2 days ago.
kids just need the internet.
No,
need
but
school.
Listen, the dinosaurs, that's a if I things I'm asking when I get to heaven. Show me what they looked like. I want to know.
I want to be like, show me every time someone was mean to me.
Okay, but this is my big thing. Me. I don't think there's heaven after this. I think the kingdom of God is here
and
now.
You look for support in the room.
I agree, though, because it's like...
I think this is heaven. Is that crazy?
I think it...
Really?
Okay, cut it, cut it.
No.
Something so crazy.
No.
You know what Damien Cronfeld said to me? He said...
Love that boy.
Get to die.
Need to.
We get like that's a beautiful thing. And then I was like,
yeah.
And I was like, it is true. We get to die, but we have to bury our loved ones. And that was the part that I added. So that part's beautiful. We get to die, and that is beautiful. What would life be without that? But the why I don't think this is heaven is because everyone we love will die, and without that, it would be heaven. Maybe heaven is this, but the people that we love won't leave us.
But I
okay. Maybe I believe in heaven. I definitely don't believe in hell.
I don't think that there. I agree with you on this, that I don't know that heaven or hell exists, because I think what the sort of what makes life so difficult but so beautiful is the balance, is the fact that there is great atrocity and great beauty.
Bittersweet.
Yes. And finding our way to closer and closer to the good, but like there is such balance in the world.
Yeah, I've never understood when people are like, if God is real, then why does bad stuff happen? There's a part of me that's like, because it does. Like,
yeah.
Can you imagine the world if nothing bad ever happened? Like, sorry, it'd be kind of boring.
We would all be like, well, we would all be such brats.
Yeah. Like, why do people suffer? It's like, because we do.
Yeah.
Like,
that's it's inherent to human. Life. Yeah.
And I guess Damien Cronfeld's point about we get to die, it's like, what so would our beautiful. Lives be if we weren't, if there, Jack Kerouac said, all beautiful things must end, or something like that. And it's like, what would that look like if we like, that's what makes every moment matter.
No, there, completely. Nothing would matter. Yeah. No. And that's often like when I don't want to go to an open mic or something, I'm like, well, I could die tomorrow, so I better get up and go now.
Is it Caitlin Bristow?
Or the opposite. I better do something else. I better go hug a tree or a loved one.
Yeah. If I were making better decisions, then I would do something else.
But and whenever I think, should I get an Uber? It's like, well, you don't get to bring your money to heaven. It's going to stay here.
Going to stay here. Smart.
Do not tell me that. That's not going to be good for me.
I know. It's hard. It's hard to be alive.
I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes,
another opens. Beside.
And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance,
I hope you dance. My grandmother loves that song.
I wish I knew what you were singing.
Who sings that song? I hope you dance.
Is it Leanne Rhymes?
Something like that.
Freaking, that can't be right.
I don't know.
I think it's three names. Oh, Leanne Rhymes. I know that is three names.
You said that's traditional one word, Leanne. That's not two. That's not Leanne Ann. That's Leanne.
Wait, the name Leanne is hilarious.
That's Leanne.
We need to write a Leanne.
She's one. I guess we're on to our last boys club.
Wait, but can I tell you about my romantic?
Oh, yes, of course, of course, of course.
Okay, this is what it is. Our lives are filled with so much beautiful art, poetry, fiction, etc. I have read so many beautiful romances. It stresses me out that I can't make that in my actual life, because my life is not a fiction that I'm writing. Like, specifically, I listen to this audio drama podcast that I like, and I heard, I swear to you, the most beautiful wedding vows I have ever heard or will ever hear in my life. And I was like, well, I'm done now. Like, I can't get married because I can't write vows that beautiful.
No, you can. And when it happens to you, it'll feel different because it'll be like, this isn't a book, Joe. This isn't a movie, Joe. This is your life.
You think so?
Right. Yes.
I'm actively like stressed about this. Does this resonate with anybody?
I think that the fictionalized aspects of romance are things that we don't likely experience in real life, like the big romantic gestures or like the perfect words and things like that. Like, there's a reason that that's fictional, because I think it's aspirational, and it's like you might get a moment like that, like a wedding vow. You might get like a moment like that in your life where that's existing. But I think like the parts of love that and romantic connection that I really appreciate in love are the safety of it. Yeah. And how safe a person can make you feel.
Yeah.
And how like in such an unknown world, you're just like, well, I'm okay because I have this person, and that'll be okay. And so
the wisdom of Nico.
So like the unbridled passion and like the craziness that we find in romance makes for great, okay, makes for great narrative.
Yeah.
But if you don't think that that's something you're gonna like, you might not, but not in a bad way, because there's other things that are actually, I think, way more grounded in the reality that make actually like living life easier and better and more fun.
I see.
Because life is so mundane, so you need somebody who's going to be there and make your mundane fun and safe and good.
Totally. Okay, you solved it for me.
Okay, now you have to pick one of the answers.
And what, in your answer? Oh, is that you will. But I mean, I'm not, wait, that's what? Not to say that, because Connor said you will feel this.
What?
I'll be like, it'll happen, and in the moment it'll be better because it was real.
Oh, because you had different answers.
But I don't disagree with you. I just think that like to assume that like a great love story must start from the cutest meet cute of all time, not necessarily.
Yeah, I have news for you. You met on Hinge. That's not The Notebook. They met at a fair. They met at a carnival. It's almost like you're on the apps. Game over. It's done.
No, I feel this way. I'm so terrified of the apps.
But we have inherent struggle in all of our love stories just by being gay, so you get to write your own drama into it, and you get to add that layer.
Met on Hinge, we found each other on Hinge. We escaped on Hinge.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys met inside the gigabyte.
And I think as somebody who's such a good writer as you are, can
who
find...
Who are you talking to?
You.
What?
You, Joe Sunday.
Oh, you're being just crazy.
That's not true. I think that you will be able to find the beautiful words to put to even the most mundane of life situations.
That's so kind of you.
And that's where the real romance comes, and that's where the real spark is.
I think I need to take a writing class, not to get famous, but to be able to
write beautiful vows.
They say that you always get famous when you're not even looking for it.
Do they say that?
I say it right now.
That's the wisdom we can bestow. Close your eyes and it'll hit you in the face.
Like an Excalibur situation.
I can't wait for you guys to be famous so that we can go to dinner.
Yes.
Yes. Balthazar.
Then I'll
sorry, they can get Getty images of us.
Yeah. I'll be like, sorry, can't.
They're
can't
like, we'll
hang.
Sit you
I'm
in the back and we're like,
famous boys.
We do that Carbone.
Yeah.
Sure. Et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
Get a big pasta.
If it's not on Des Moines, then just sit with it.
But I feel you. It's hard to take like narrative stuff and then like look at your own life and be like, well,
yeah.
But I've been listening to so many screenwriting podcasts recently.
Ooh.
To think about these things, and they always say, they're like, well, a screenplay, a movie, a story is taking the most exciting thing in this person's life, who is put in a very specific situation that is heightened for narrative excitement. So like, we don't have these types of things.
But that's the problem, is I'm trying to make every moment and every day of my life be that.
But that's okay, because I think that's the way like writers look at their lives.
Yeah.
And we are story creators. And like even like stand-up, it's like, I have stories in my stand-up that it's like, it didn't exactly happen
that.
Yeah. There's obviously some emotional truths that I'm pulling from it. There's like emotional truths I'm pulling from other parts of my life that I'm mapping onto this thing that I'm retroactively fitting to make it more interesting. If I told you the exact story of what happened that day,
yeah, it'd be so
fucking boring. I have to add some spice to it. And I think that's what we do as like, and we're searching for that.
Yeah. And that's what I love about being friends with so many writers and stand-ups and artists is that we are all so, well, maybe not you guys completely, but we're so drama and we are kind of editorializing our lives.
Totally.
We're like, any conversation we, because I feel like we're so aware of the fact that every moment of our life is writing the story of our life. We're adding those little bits of spice and like saying the truth.
We need an artist support group, but it probably might be actually this podcast. Are you ever on a date with someone and then you're like, because I think we always love to be perceived and we love to win. And then you leave and you're like, fucking crush. Like, that's not what that was for. Well, sometimes I think I'm out of touch with my feelings because I more lead with how I'm being perceived, which are, and those are different things. But I think part of that is because, well, gay, but then also just like this, this whole world in general is like very much that.
Well, someone gave me advice to do that recently when I went on a date and I was like, I don't know if I really feel like it. Because of course I have my demisexual curse where I'm like, I don't know this person. So how am I going to like feel romantic feelings? And my friends were like, well, just go. Like, just practice being lovely and charming.
Yeah.
Which is what you're saying. That you don't, that you think is bad.
We were talking about this.
I should have come to you.
We were talking about this earlier.
I don't know what I would have said to you instead.
This is, we were talking about this the other day about, like, that's, I think, one of the pitfalls of dating apps and the way that dating has changed. Because, like, I find that the most natural connections I've ever made with people are people that I, like, met in a social setting in person and like we hit it off there and then when we go for the date we already have that chemistry established
100%.
But going into something where you've literally never met somebody, you can't forge chemistry out of nothing. It's really hard to do. It's
the way you said that was so like really Oppenheimer hard. It's like when you put this plus this you get a bomb.
We can't forge chemistry out of nothing. He's not even British, whatever. I don't know what that was.
All people used to sound British though.
Should we ask our last boys club?
What's a boys club you want to see in the world? We'll see what we can do.
Okay. Please make this.
We will
boys
see what we can do.
Okay, first, to tell you about the boys club that I want to see in the world, I have to tell you about my theory of OGK. OGK, this is Joe's theory. It stands for one good knock. Okay. The question that this theory answers.
I'm already obsessed with this.
Thank you.
We love a theory. We'll add it to the list.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to talk
about
this. One good knock. The question is, what are we going to do with people who cause harm? Right? Because I am an abolitionist. I want to get rid of prisons. I want to get rid of the carceral system.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, we discussed to death in 2020. Cancel culture, it like it's not even a real thing, it doesn't work. We don't want to shun people, we don't want to take people out of community, right? How are we going to address harm in a way that builds community and strengthens us all together? In comes one good knock. A lot of the time
I'm obsessed.
A lot of people just need an Listen, I'm a pacifist, and this is where the boys club is going to come in, okay? I'm not going to do it. But I think a lot of people just need one solid, not a slap, not a punch, a knock. Just one solid. Just to be hit one time.
Absolutely agree.
Hard, solid.
I agree.
Thank you.
I agree. I am on board with OGK.
Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so the boys club I wish to see in the world, I want a boys club that delivers the one good knock. I want like a tribute because we're also not doing like what happened to, and did this even happen for real? But what happened to like your dad and your brothers and your uncles and your cousins like going to beat somebody up for you?
Yeah.
Who wronged you?
Yeah.
What did happen to that?
Yeah.
I never had that.
Whatever did happen to that?
I think we need to bring that back. I think we need a club of boys who will litigate the situation.
It's Michael Aber.
Sure. Sure. And deliver.
It
one
is
good
nice. There's such a hopefulness to it. It's like, hey, you did bad. Do better.
Yeah.
We look forward to seeing you do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom.
And we could rank. We could like, we could adjust the knock based on the crime.
You the know, strength of the knock?
The strength of the knock. Like, if you're a real serial bad guy, real knock. A thick knock.
Wait, not to make this too serious.
No, make it.
But I do feel like that, I know cancel culture, like, I think our opinions on cancel culture is actually incredibly interesting in that yeah, we're like
incredibly
generally
nuanced and specific.
It kind of is because we're like liberal, but also comedians. So we like, I think, do generally like err on the side of like people should be able to like have conversations about things. Mm. Whereas I think a lot of the world is very black and white. Mm. I am in many ways, but not this way. And so it is kind of like, it has the part of the problem and the divide of people being like, you can't say anything anymore. And I think it all stems back to that,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, no, you can, but you might get a knock. You might get
exactly,
a giant knock.
Yeah. And so I think it can make people feel more free to make mistakes where it's like, hey, like you're still going to be part of us. Just boop.
We're like, you did a bad thing, mm-hmm. but we love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
yeah.
Keep
we're
obsessed
trying.
With you.
Just one yeah. solid.
One good knock.
One good knock. I love that it's not a slap. It's a knock.
A knock.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for being on. Oh, I forgot to say at the beginning, we always end with a smooch into the microphone. You guys ready?
I've been smooching away. Throughout. Okay. Wait, thank you to the boys for having me. I love this so much. Seriously, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
grateful.
Joe.
All right, ready? Mwah. Mwah. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.